It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena. Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Morena, thank you, Rachel. It's good. I'm looking at it, a sunny morning out over the harbour, and thinking we probably could have used 10% of Canterbury's rain, but we didn't want 100% of it.
No, it is pretty wild down there.
Yeah, amazing.
We've got a few big things to talk about today. Let's start by talking about the big bike lane protest that we saw on Sunday across the Auckland Harbour Bridge. Now, the main goal of this is to get a trial lane set up, which has been a goal for, I think, over a decade now at this point, for bikes and pedestrians to get from one side of the bridge to the other. What is the hold up on making this happen? Because we've seen, you know, this almost come to fruition as a project in very recent times. Why is it being held up?
Yeah, well, look, I agree with the goal of bike action, of getting a walking and cycling way across the harbour. Don't agree with the action of breaking the barricade. I think we're all equal under the law and we've all got to abide by the law. Why has it been held up? The first iteration of a skypath attachment to the bridge proved not to be possible because it wouldn't have carried the weight unless you had a carefully monitored system. The second and far more expensive goal then has apparently proved to be not wise from an engineering perspective because it adds too much weight to the bridge, so you lose out both ways there. And what I now understand they're looking at is whether they might do a separate walk cycleway bridge across the harbour. Now that will be quite expensive, but you know, do I want a connection between the shore and the city? Absolutely. I mean, I think connecting up with the northern pathway, you'll have a route that people can use for commuting. You'll have a route that people will enjoy riding on recreationally. I think it'll be a major tourist attraction. But the hold up has been that as they've done the detail on the engineering design at each stage, it's proved not to be feasible on the original plans that they had. I regret that, but that's a fact of life. Obviously, you know, safety of the walkway and cycleway has to be paramount.
Those things are true, of course. You want it to be safe and you want it to be something that is able to be, you know, start and then continue, not have to be revised many times. But this is, you know, an ongoing conversation, and we're seeing, you know, huge numbers show up on the weekend. Some reports are saying hundreds, others are saying more like thousands, actually, on the ground there. And you know, we've seen pushes from many different advocacy groups and also from councillors within Auckland Council itself. When are we going to see some concrete, I guess, decision making around this? Because it's all well and good to say that, you know, we're keen to have it happen, but people want to see the actions put into effect now. When do we see that? Well,
of course they do. We all want to have everything now, and then we have to work out how we pay for it and how we construct it. The question is appropriately addressed, I guess, to Waka Kotahi, the New Zealand Transport Agency, because they make the decisions in terms of state highways, and this is a state highway. I think the decision is a very real one that has to be made, and that is if a standalone bridge is what's required, are we going to front up with the hundreds of millions? Is government going to front up with the hundreds of millions of dollars to do that? I think they probably will go ahead with it, but it will be expensive.
One of the goals is to, of course, have a trial cycle lane over the coming summer. Is that something that you think could be put into effect?
Yeah, I think you could do that, particularly on the weekends or particularly on a Sunday when the traffic is lighter. I think that is an idea that I'm encouraging the Minister of Transport to look at. I don't necessarily think that the breaking down the police barricade actually won a lot of public support, though, for proceeding with that. I support the idea myself of opening up on a Sunday. I think it'd be a great thing to do. Would love to do it myself. And if they can do that without creating chaos in terms of the traffic on the bridge, then that's great. If you were to do it at peak hour, you'd end up with a situation a bit like we did when the truck hit the strut on the Harbour Bridge.
Do you think that we might...
Have, Big congestion.
Do you think that we might see something put into effect at this point? Because, you know, I guess the goal of this action was to see some immediate change. Is anything going to be happening? You know, people want some concrete stuff to hold on to here. Is the council at least looking at this as a possibility?
Well, it's not the council's decision. I've made that point. It's a decision that has to be made and financed by the New Zealand Transport Agency.
But the council would be a strong advocate there.
Well, council has been a strong advocate for having a walk and cycle way across the harbour. We had hoped that it could be done by attaching it to the harbour bridge. It's bitterly disappointing that we found late in the day, or engineers decided later in the day, that wasn't possible to do. That's what we'd been relying on, that's what we'd been planning for, that's what we thought would happen. So now they have to look at the alternative options. You can have the option, and I think probably people wouldn't be that keen in the winter when it was windy and wet and cold, but in the summer, opening it up for a trial run, you'd probably have to open two lanes up for safety reasons. I would support that. And I would also support building a standalone bridge across the harbour. But that is a serious amount of money. And so, you know, those that are jumping up and down saying, why not tomorrow? That is because we've got literally tens of billions of dollars worth of infrastructure that are needed. And this comes out of the taxpayer, not the ratepayer, but it still comes out of the people that live and work in Auckland need to pay their taxes to pay for that. I think it would be justified. I think it's a long-term piece of infrastructure, and I think it would be well used, so that we are supporting that.
But
we're supporting it by advocacy to central government. We don't have the power to make that decision, nor do we have the finance to make that decision ourselves.
Well, speaking of tax, let's talk a little bit about the Auckland fuel tax. Ben Leonard has done some really interesting reporting for the newsroom in the last week, and this is looking at what's happening to the funding that is raised by the Auckland fuel tax, which has been slated that it's going to stay, despite the fact that we are getting some government funding for major projects which the fuel tax was initially designed to fund. What is going to be happening with that money that's freed up, I guess, from the fuel tax?
Okay. What the regional fuel tax does is provide about $150 million a year in income. Had we paid for that out of rates, that would have been the equivalent of an 11% rate increase. Why do we need to raise it? Because for every dollar we raise, we get a dollar matching subsidy from central government. But if we couldn't raise the money in the first place, then we'd lose not only the $150 million that we gain in revenue from the regional fuel tax, we'd lose another $150 million in government revenue. So we'd be losing $300 million a year, plus we'd be losing the development contributions that we get from the work that we do. So if you weren't to have the regional fuel tax, that would leave a $4.3 billion hole in your 10-year program for transport. Everybody is calling out for more and more work to be done to address the growth in Auckland and to make sure that we can get around. And, what the money goes into, every dollar that is paid in the regional fuel tax is what's called hypothecated towards spending on transport in Auckland. It can't be used for any other purpose. So what is it funding? If I just flick down, I won't go through the whole list because it's too long, but $272 million out of the regional fuel tax will go to help fund the Eastern Busway from Pāmuir to Pakuranga to Botany. You've got $25 million going into park and ride so people can park and then go by public transport. You've got $139 million going into new electric trains and stabling that's needed. You've got $42 million going into the ferry network improvements. You've got $232 million going into road safety to try to stop to cut our appalling road toll, both deaths and serious injuries. That gives you a bit of a flavour of where the money is going. Now, that is public information. You know exactly where the money is going. Most of it's going into public transport options to free up the way that people can move around the city. And if you didn't have that money, then you wouldn't have the work and you'd be facing gridlock.
There has been some frustration that we're still seeing, you know, huge congestion here in Auckland, and that problem does seem to just be getting worse, really. Obviously, all of these are really important transport projects, but should we be prioritising perhaps something that immediately alleviates that congestion issue? Because that seems, you know, to be a really, daily experience for people that makes it hard to live in the city.
tell me about it. It took me an hour and 10 to get in because there's a crash on the motorway this morning, and I don't have the option of public transport because of where I live. There is no public transport there. It is a serious problem, but there's no silver bullet solution. We all know what we've got to do, and that's why we're spending, you know, $4.3 billion on a city rail link to double rail capacity. That's why we're now working with government to try to get the light rail off the ground so that we can cater for the huge housing developments in Mount Roskill, Mangere, Onehunga, etc. That's why we're doing more busways. That's why we're extending the northern busway, building the eastern busway, doing more on the northwestern to get buses moved through it. Getting more people on ferries. All of those are necessary. But when you've had a city that's been growing by 40,000 people a year and you haven't had the expenditure on the infrastructure, guess what you get? You get congested roads. Can you keep widening the roads and building more roads? No, no city in the world is trying to solve congestion by that. So what you've got to do is look at how you can move people more efficiently, and 100 people on one bus is better than having 100 cars on the motorway. We know what we have to do, but it's a huge expenditure, as I mentioned before, and you can't do these things overnight. So the City Rail Link, we're making fantastic progress on it. I can watch the progress every day. It's happening right outside my office, but it still takes 4 or 5 years to do, as did the tunnel on State Highway 20. So, yeah, we move as quickly as we can, subject to the money we've got and subject to having the construction crews available to do the work.
Well, very briefly, because we're running out of time, but I did just want to touch base on what's happening out in Drury at the moment. And there has been some proposals for fast-tracking some development out there, which you've been quite opposed to. Can you just give us a very brief overview of what's actually happening in Drury right now?
Yeah, well, look, there's over 30,000 houses that will be built in Drury. So it's going to be an area much bigger than a city, say, the size of New Plymouth. And we're working flat out on the infrastructure that's being provided. So there's third main trunk rail. We're electrifying out to Pukekohe. We'll be doing extra busways, walkways, and all of that sort of thing. And, the developers are working there right now. Three developers want to fast-track their proposal. They want to bring forward by, you know, I don't know, maybe it's 10 years, further construction. But if they do that, that costs us billions of dollars to provide the infrastructure that is needed. And what we're saying to them is, look, we'll work with you, but we can't prefer you over all of the other developers that equally would like more infrastructure built and they'd like it now. And you need to follow the processes. And by the way, you need to come to the party too. If you want to bring forward stuff, what are you going to contribute to the cost of the infrastructure to service the area? Because you're the folk that are making the money out of the development. You need to make a decent contribution towards bringing forward that infrastructure. And we're working with Treasury, Kiwi Rail, Ministry of Housing. We're working with the Supporting Growth Alliance. We're working with, obviously, Auckland Transport. But if people want to bring and get their development preferred ahead of others, that will come at the cost of others, and it will also mean that we would have to provide the money for the infrastructure, which simply isn't there at the moment. So we're saying, no, sorry, you've got to follow the same process as everybody else, and you've got to take your turn, because it is a zero-sum game. It's not a case of getting extra houses because we help you. That will come at the expense of money that we've set aside for other sequence development that's already, and other developers that are further ahead in their plans than these three particular developers.
Well, we might have to come back and have a proper look at that another time, but thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Gough. It's always great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Rachel.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough.
Thank you.